Sam Bankman-Fried, founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX, has been charged with 7 criminal counts of wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering, and related conspiracy charges. His trial began last week in New York. Here's Bankman-Fried responding to the collapse of the company FTX last year.
I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened.
Our next guest has been following that story and the wider, weird, and wild world of cryptocurrency for years now and shares his reporting in a new book. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you or do you invest in cryptocurrency, the big names like Bitcoin or the smaller players? How about NFTs? Did you make money or lose money on those investments? Do you feel like you got ripped off at some point? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Zeke Fox is an investigative reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek and Bloomberg News. His new book is Number Go Up, Inside Crypto's Wild Rise and Staggering Fall. Zeke, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Zeke, cryptocurrency, a household word for some people, an alien concept for many others. Can you give us a brief, a couple line description of what the heck cryptocurrency is?
So when I got into this, I've been an investigative reporter for, 15 years now, but I didn't really know much about crypto. I just started hearing about it like everybody else. I had a friend from high school who was texting me and saying I should buy something called Dogecoin. And yeah, it's actually Dogecoin. I knew that much. And I set him straight and I told him it was a dumb idea. It's based on nothing. It's just a currency that's got a picture of a dog on it. There's really nothing there. And he didn't care. He bought it anyway. And the price started to go up because Elon Musk, the billionaire Tesla founder, was tweeting about it. And Jay made so much money that he sold out. He went to Disney with his family. He sent me pictures. He sent me a text saying, I am freaking Nostradamus. And, I have to admit, I was a little bit jealous. And so I decided to investigate and to figure out, what are all these random coins? Why are their prices going up and up? Why can nobody really explain them to me? What's behind this mania? Because Jay wasn't the only one getting rich. And what I found was that, a lot of these coins have various purposes. There's a whole story behind them that often can sound really good. But a lot of the activity boils down to people like Jay, who send some money to an app like Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX or Coinbase or crypto.com, and they pick one of these wild sounding coins and are essentially just gambling on the price going up. And it's a huge percentage of the activity in this whole crypto boom was just that. It wasn't based on any sort of real world use of this technology.
And Zeke, so much of this feels new and completely different than anything that came before. But you point out at one point, there is precedent, something called a pump and dump scheme, going back to railroad stocks with no actual railroads attached in the 1800s to, the 1980s penny stocks and things like that. How much of that has that been a core of a lot of the cryptocurrency businesses? Basically, we're gonna boost the value of these worthless stocks and we're going to sell out at the right time and make money. And the people who buy it from us, well, they're out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big percentage of crypto is kind of similar to these pump and dump schemes. You've got some sort of promoter who says, hey, I've got this great new coin. It's the future of money, or it's going to revolutionize the financial system, cut out middlemen. And maybe the creator of this coin is a computer programmer who actually believes in the idea, but a lot of hype men get in early. They acquire the coins at a low price. And by the time you or I hear about them, the scheme's well on its way and the price is actually near where it's gonna peak. And when we buy, the end is near and the prices collapse soon. And what we saw with the whole market is that it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. the total value of all cryptocurrencies hit $3 trillion. And then inevitably last summer, most of them collapsed. But along the way, there were a lot of crazy stories and a lot of people got really, really rich.
I want to talk about one particular figure in the news in court this week. I believe Sam Bankman-Fried, I mentioned FTX. Now, you interviewed him when he was at the peak, really. And, you know, as you're talking to him, he's like, hold on, I have to do this International Economic Conference speech and things like that. And you talked to him after it all fell apart. You got to hang out with him for a while there. The central question is, was he, and I think it's a central question in court, was he deliberately defrauding people, or was he, as he said, somebody who could just sort of accidentally misplace $8 billion in an accounting error? What is your read on that?
So I just want to give the listeners a little explanation of what his company was, FTX. And you could think of it like a casino where people would go bet on different cryptocurrencies. And it was an app that you'd have on your phone. And people sent in real money, and then they gambled on Dogecoin or Ethereum or Cardano or whatever. They're looking at their account. They think they can see their stack of chips has gotten bigger. But come last November, a lot of the gamblers at FTX all asked for their money back all at once. And FTX revealed that the money was gone. And if you were not one of the lucky ones to get out early, you lost it all. So, and that's where this missing $8 billion figure comes from. So when I flew down to the Bahamas after this collapse to interview Sam, it really looked like something fraudulent had happened. I mean, $8 billion doesn't just disappear. But what he told me was that there had been some sort of accounting mix-up and that he just hadn't been paying any attention to the money coming in and out of his company. Now, this was a little hard for me to believe because here we have, you know, this crypto genius, went to MIT. He was a trader at Jane Street Capital, a very respected firm on Wall Street. He'd conquered the crypto world. I mean, he was testifying before Congress on how finance should be regulated. Venture capitalists were giving him money at insane valuations. He was worth $20 billion at one point. And now here he was saying, oh, actually, I can't really count very well. I was paying so little attention that I didn't realize this $8 billion was gone. So I didn't find that a very convincing defense in the moment. And it's become even less convincing since then. He's on trial now in federal court in Manhattan. And I've been attending the trial, and I've seen two of his colleagues, best friends of his from since they were teenagers. And these guys have said, yes, a fraud was committed. And one of them said, one of them had pleaded guilty. He'd said, you know, I committed a fraud. I did it with Sam. This wasn't any accident. It happened due to our actions.
We're talking to journalist and author Zeke Fox about his new book, Number Go Up, Inside Crypto's Wild Rise and Staggering Fall. Coming up, a text message leads to an international scam. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with author and journalist Zeke Fox about his new book, Number Go Up, Inside Crypto's Wild Rise and Staggering Fall. Zeke, one of the most shocking parts of your book in some ways is when you get a mysterious text message, a pretty blatant scam, it turns out, and it leads you to a human trafficking operation in Cambodia. What happened?
So by this point, I've been looking into crypto for more than a year, and I'd started to hear that it was popular for illicit activities. I mean, honestly, I heard that from the start, but I was starting to get really curious about how criminals exactly were using crypto. And I got a text message, one of these ones that we all get that says, oh, like, hey, Bill, did you pick up the cat litter on your way home? I decided to play along, and I started chatting with someone who said her name was Vicky Ho. She started sending me pictures of herself. She was an attractive young Asian woman whose face had been heavily photoshopped to look kind of like an anime character. She started telling me about her wonderful lifestyle that she afforded through her genius Bitcoin trading. And I'd heard about these kinds of scams, so I wanted to see how it worked. But one of the hallmarks of them is they really try to lure you in with a fake flirtation and friendship before they ask for money. So it took several days of me chatting with her every morning before she said, hey, you know, I just made this great Bitcoin trade. Why don't you download this special app and you can try too? Now, I sent her some money. Then I, using the cryptocurrency called Tether that I'd been investigating, then she disappeared when I told her I was an investigative reporter. But as you alluded to, the really horrible part of these scams, which are called pig butchering, because they fatten you up before they slaughter you and take all your money. These people who send the spam text messages are often in Southeast Asia, in Cambodia or Myanmar. And while they're sending you these messages, they themselves are also victims. They've been tricked into traveling to these countries with offers of high paying jobs and gambling or customer service. And then when they get there, they're held in these office towers and they're forced to scam. And they're told that if they don't meet their quota, they'll be beaten, tortured, or even killed. So I went out to Cambodia to see this for myself because it sounded like a conspiracy theory. And there's whole giant towers, whole office parks, where every floor is workers who've been trafficked, who are forced to run these crypto and gambling scams 24/7. It's become like a huge international incident, been raised at the United Nations now.
As you mentioned, one of the main use cases that was obvious to people from the beginning with cryptocurrencies was illicit activity, whether it's that kind of scam or selling drugs or whatever it might be. Have people found other solid use cases where they could say, yeah, cryptocurrency is better for this kind of transaction than a dollar?
So for Vicky Ho, who scammed me, crypto is great because once I zapped her, I sent her $100 worth of Tether. There's no refunds. I don't know her real name. And my money moves from the US to a compound in Cambodia controlled by Chinese gangsters instantly. Whereas if she asked for my Visa card or a bank transfer, that would set off a lot of alarm bells at the bank or credit card company. So it's great for that. But what I found was that for regular people, it's very impractical. One of the things that Bitcoin proponents like to talk about is that El Salvador has made Bitcoin legal tender, and they say it was this huge success story. But I went down there. Nobody likes to use it. People would kind of laugh at me if I tried to use Bitcoin. The president actually announced that all stores have to take it. But if I ever asked a clerk, oh, can I pay for this with Bitcoin? They just sort of give me a dirty look and say, oh, the Bitcoin manager is not in today, or, you know, our internet's out. You sure you don't have cash? Because it's slow, it's expensive, and it's confusing. And why not just stick with regular dollars if you are able to? And if you're not worried about getting tracked.
Talking to Zeke Fox about his new book, Number Go Up, Inside Crypto's Wild Rise and Staggering Fall. Zeke, you spend a lot of time in the book looking at that company you mentioned earlier, Tether, which is a stable coin, meaning in theory, every Tether dollar or whatever is backed by an actual existing U.S. dollar. They're still in business. They're still operating. I imagine you're still skeptical, but it's very hard to figure out what assets are out there backing up their stablecoin.
That's a pretty good summary. That was the company that I picked that sucked me into this mystery. I wrote in the book, this company was basically quilted out of red flags. I've never seen anything like it in my years of investigating financial companies. But even as every crypto company that I'd heard of practically collapsed one after another, Tether was left still standing at the end. And the people who run it are now billionaires. It's one of the most profitable companies in the world, if you believe their numbers. But I'm still looking into this company and saving space in the paperback for an epilogue with what happens to them.
Apart from Tether, Zeke, what lessons do you hope people take away from your long-term in-depth look at crypto?
You know, the crypto people are great at saying, if you don't get it, it's because maybe you're not that smart or you just didn't spend enough time looking into this cryptocurrency. And I'm here to tell you, I spent 2 years looking into it. I'm not the smartest guy, but I am a financial reporter. And wherever I looked, I just saw there was nothing behind the curtain. And maybe somebody's going to come along again with a pitch for you that they've got the magic new coin that's going to be the really good crypto, the next Bitcoin. But I would be very skeptical of that because I heard it before. And a lot of the people who told me that are now either bankrupt or facing criminal charges or other kinds of lawsuits. So I definitely watch out.
Zeke, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's Zeke Fox, author and investigative reporter at Bloomberg Businessweek and Bloomberg News. We talked to him today about his new book. It's called Number Go Up: Inside Crypto's Wild Rise and Staggering Fall.